John chapter number 1. John chapter 1. Hey, by the way, how many of y'all have Christmas lights up outside your house? How many of y'all have Christmas lights? All right, about a third of you. No, more like 10% of you have Christmas lights. And, you know, regardless of whether or not you do or you don't have Christmas lights outside, I think most of us would agree that Christmas lights, man, when they're done right, they're beautiful to look at. How many of y'all would agree with that? You like looking at them. Aren't they pretty to look at? Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking about this, that sadly, many people around Daytona Beach will not have a bright, merry Christmas. They say that the suicide rate really shoots up during the holiday season, and many people are depressed and they're despondent. Many people are dealing with major problems and very serious issues. We met a waitress this week in a restaurant, and we were talking to her, and she broke down and started crying and told us that her father was just put in hospice and doesn't have long to live. And there's a lot of hurting people. Our neighbor, two houses down from us, she's been in a fight for her life for a year with cancer. And she is very much struggling. Another neighbor down the street, been married to his wife for, I don't know, 50 years and lost his wife. And he'll be spending Christmas without her. So for a lot of people, it won't be a real bright, cheery, merry Christmas. But I've got great news for you. Regardless of whatever circumstances you find yourself this Christmas, I want you to know that there is a Christmas light that can change your entire perspective on everything. And that Christmas light can not only brighten up your Christmas, it'll brighten up your entire life. This passage before us, John chapter 1, is a really awesome passage from God's Word that details for us who Jesus Christ is, and then the light that He provides for us in a sin-darkened world. By the way, how many of you would agree that we live in a sin-darkened world, huh? Do we? Man, we do, don't we? It's a sin-darkened world. I'm going to tell you right now, you read the paper, you look around, and man, I tell you, it is a sin-darkened world, but there is a way to brighten up Christmas. How do you do it? Number one is this in your handout. Number one, identify the Christmas light. Don't miss it. Identify the Christmas light and don't miss it. Now, there's a lot of people, they do a great job of identifying all the Black Friday sales and they don't miss them, amen? There are people who identify every good deal out there between now and Christmas. They identify all the online sales. They identify all the coupon, all the advertisements, and they don't miss a thing, you know? But the first step in brightening up Christmas is to identify the Christmas light. You say, Pastor Dan, what Christmas light are you talking about? Well, the Bible is very clear that the Christmas light is a who. Yeah, it's not a what. It's a who. Look at John 1 and verse 6. John 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Notice the capital L. This is something special here. He came to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Now hold on. The L is capitalized. That right away tells me this is a reference to a person. And what further confirms that is look at that verse again. It says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through, what's that personal pronoun there? Him. Well, wait a minute. The him is referring back to the light. Correct? So if the him is referring back as a personal pronoun, it's referring back to the light, then that lets me know that the Christmas light here is a person. Who is the Christmas light? In the context here, I want you to write this in your handout. In the context of this passage, the Christmas light is Jesus. The Christmas light is Jesus. I want you to look with me at verse 1. Great verse. Many modern versions have really corrupted this verse, but this verse, as it is incredible. It is awesome. It is just over the top good. Look at it with me, John 1:1. Let's say it together. In the beginning was the Word. Notice the capital W there, okay? Say it with me. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So again, we had the capital L, we've got a capital W here. This is referring to a person. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, this is a person, but who is it? Well, look at verse 14. Verse 14. And the Word was made what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. And the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And notice, full of grace and truth. Hey, who is the Christmas light? Who's the light? Who's the Word? It's the same person. Say it with me. Who is it? It's Jesus. That's exactly right. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that Jesus is the Christmas light. But do you think people missed it in Jesus' day? Look at verse 5. It says there, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Look at verse 9. He says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was, it says he was even made by him. But yet it says the world, what? Knew him not. They missed it. Verse 10 is amazing. Here you've got Jesus Christ. He's God in the flesh. He made the world. He created the world. He then came into the world that He created. But yet the world, that is the inhabitants of the world, knew Him not. They did not identify the Christmas light. Most of the people missed it. By the way, do you think that happens today? No different. People haven't changed. I think a very small percentage of people understand who the Christmas light is, but most do not. A small percentage do, but most do not. In fact, even people who celebrate Christmas, and I think most people in our culture do, I think that the percentage would be very high in our culture, in America, of people who celebrate Christmas in some way. And so you've got this thing called Christmas, and most people celebrate it, but yet for many there's no apparent evidence that they even know that Christmas is about Christ. I mean, we ought to know that. The word Christmas contains the word Christ, but I think it gets missed. It really does. I mean, you can go by and you can see Christmas lights. And it's funny because you'll see things like Santa. And you'll see things like Frosty the Snowman, right? And you'll see Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, right? You see him. You see Santa's little elves. You see the mistletoe. And you see all that. But a lot of times you look and you say, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? The truth is that on Christmas Day, which, by the way, is 2 weeks away. I don't want to depress you, but it is 2 weeks away. I don't want to scare you. But Christmas Day, 2 weeks from now, most of the world will not even give Jesus a passing thought. Now, that's the truth. I know because I've been there. I remember, man, when I woke up on Christmas morning, I didn't think about Jesus. You know what I thought about? Gifts, presents. I don't think my parents thought about Jesus either. It didn't cross our minds. Isn't that amazing that here's a day that's supposed to be celebrating the birth of somebody, and yet many people will not even give Jesus Christ a passing thought? By the way, I think that's a really good reason why churches like ours ought to do things like Walk Through Bethlehem to remind people that Christmas is about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, you cannot go through Bethlehem and not know that it's about Jesus Christ. When you go through, man, I mean from beginning to end, they're talking about the Messiah being promised. And then they get to the angel scene, which we completely redid this year. And man, the angel announces his birth, and then they get taken to the manger, and they see baby Jesus, but then we take them into the cross and tomb. And in the cross and tomb, they stand looking at the cross and looking at the empty tomb. And then they stand and they proclaim that this baby was born so that he could live a sinless life, die on the cross for your sin, make the payment for your sin. But he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead and he's alive, and he'll save you today if you'll call upon him. Amen. That's the message right there, buddy. And man, I tell you, Pastor Rich, you must have a fun time with that over there, man. You and your crew being able to present that good news that he came to save us. He came to make that debt payment for us, because we've all sinned. And there is no way to brighten up Christmas until you first identify the Christmas light. Don't miss it, like so many did 2,000 years ago. They missed it. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They missed the Christmas light. They missed what it was all about. Identify it and don't miss it. Number two, if you want to brighten up Christmas, number two, accept the Christmas light, and then write this in. Don't just admire it. Accept the Christmas light. Don't just admire it. And I tell you, I like looking at Christmas lights. I really do. Sometimes me and the family, we'll just kind of load up and we'll just take off and we'll just go look at Christmas lights. And it's fun. It's enjoyable. It's great. It's beautiful. And, you know, what do? You look at the Christmas light, and you admire it, and then you move on. You drive on, and then you quickly forget about it. You know, it doesn't change your life or anything like that. You just admire it, and then you move on. And I really believe that that's exactly what happened when Christ came 2,000 years ago. Just like that, many people, that's what they did with the Christmas light. Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Look at verse 11. I mean, that sums it up right there. Look at verse 11. It says that Jesus came unto his own, and his own what? They received him not. Do you know who his own is, by the way? Do you know how you define that? Jesus Christ was of the, he was the offspring of David. If you trace back his parents, Mary and Joseph, and you trace both their genealogies back, they take you to King David. He was a direct descendant on both sides, and he was a rightful heir and descendant of King David. And by the way, you ever study that out? Man, there's no way that happened by accident, all right? But he comes into the world, he's born a Jew, a full-blooded Jew. And he's born there in Bethlehem, close to Jerusalem. And he comes, and the Bible says, he said, I came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was one of them. He said, I came unto my own. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Now, here's the deal. You read the Bible, and you find out his people, Israel, they loved to watch his miracles, didn't they, Pastor Rich? They loved that. Great crowds, just throngs of people gathered. The Bible says multitudes would gather when he'd come to town. And they loved to watch the signs and wonders. Oh, show us more. We want to see some more signs and wonders. And they loved watching the miracles. And they loved watching all the healings. And man, they just got a big kick out of that. But the Bible says that most of them did not make a choice to receive Jesus Christ. By the way, do you think it's still that way today? There's a lot of people that admire Jesus from a distance, and they'll sit there and they'll say, yes, I believe Jesus was a good man, or yes, I believe that he was a moral teacher, yes, I believe he was a prophet, yes, I believe that that Jesus was a very good man, and they admire him. But in your handout it says they've never believed on him as the Son of God, they've never received him into their heart and into their life as their Savior. And there's a lot of people that admire Jesus from a distance. They admire him from a distance. But he doesn't live in their heart. He does not live and dwell within them. To many people, Jesus is somebody they hang around their neck. He's somebody they hang around their neck on a necklace. Many people, he hangs on the wall of their house. Or he sits on their table as a statue. But it's not enough to admire Jesus. You have to accept him. You got to believe on him. You have to believe in his finished work. You have to believe that what he accomplished was for you, friend, because you sinned against God. You need a Savior. You need somebody who can save you from your sin. You know, I was a teenager, and as a teenage boy, I love sports, and I loved all the things that teenage boys love, you know. And I growing up, you know, I admired Jesus from a distance, but I had never accepted him and received him as my Savior. And I will never forget the night as a teenage young man that I knew I needed a Savior. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believed on him. I wanted him in my life. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Had I not done that, and had I continued to admire him from a distance, I would not be up here right now. I promise you, I would have completely destroyed my life. I know I would have. I would have ended up destroying my life. I am so thankful that I went from admiring him to saying, no, I want him to be my personal Savior. You see, it's not enough to admire him. You got to receive him. You know, I read something interesting. This is pretty interesting. This came from the Journal of State Taxation. They reported that 40% of shopgoers will purchase a department store gift card for a friend or a family member. 40% of people in America will purchase a gift card over the holidays of some sort. 33% of that 40%, it'll be a restaurant gift card. And then they went on to say, the typical American home has an average of $300 in unused or unredeemed gift cards. Now, not me. But I believe in using them, amen? But the average house, some probably more, some less, the average has $300 of unredeemed gift cards. Those cards are often misplaced. They accidentally get thrown out. You wonder how many gift cards will get thrown out in the trash on Christmas, right? Accidentally. They get caught, they're little, so they get caught in the trash, they get thrown out. Or they're partially redeemed. People go and they use it once, but then they forget about it and they never use it again, and there's money left on there that they never use. By the way, can you see why stores like you to buy gift cards? Get a load of this. This is going to blow your mind. Between 2005 and 2011, $41 billion in gift cards were unused. $41 billion in gift cards went unused. Some of you are like, I would just like a billion of that, amen? And you know what people do? Here's exactly what happens. They open the gift, and they admire it. They're like, oh, wow, a gift card. Man, thank you so much. This is awesome. And they admire it, but they never use it. They don't redeem it. $41 billion unused. It was theirs. It was theirs for the taking. All they had to do was redeem it. And in the same way, many people admire Jesus Christ, and they admire what he did, but they never take what he did and apply it to their heart. They don't redeem God's gift of salvation. It's there for the taking. That gift was there. It's made available, but they never take it. They never use it. They never apply it to their heart and to their life. Like that gift card sits there. The gift of salvation just sits there. Unused. Unused. What's that verse in your handout say? Look at it. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the what? gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a gift there. Look at verse 12 in your Bible. Look at verse 12. It says, but as many as what? I want you to get that. But as many as what? Received Him. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You may be sitting here thinking, you mean to tell me Jesus Christ wants to have a relationship with me? Pastor Dan, you don't know all that I've done. Aren't you glad I don't? Because I'm real glad you don't know all about me, amen? I think we all can say amen to that. You know what? I don't know everything you've done, but I do know what Christ has done for you, and I know you were included in it. Isn't that a great feeling, Pastor Rich, to be able to have 3,000 people come through the cross and tomb scene? And isn't it a great feeling, brother, to know that every person that came in there, they're included in what Christ did? He did it for them too. He did it for them too. And you can lay it out there, and you can say, man, here's the gift. You want it? Take it. Redeem it. It's yours. Look at verse number 7, in case you doubt me here. Look at verse 7. It says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that how many men? That all men. It's available to all men. All men through Him can believe. Look at verse 9. It says, that was the true light, which lighteth who? Every man that cometh into the world. Salvation is for all people. It's for every single human being. You just got to take it. You got to apply it. Will you embrace the light or hide from it? I remember when I was a kid growing up there in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. I remember growing up, and in the morning time when it was time to get up for school, my mom would holler, Danny! She called me Danny. Jar the floor! And that, she's a southern lady, you know. Jar the floor, you know what that meant? Get up. Get up. And she'd holler, jar the floor! I do that. If I'm ever home and my kids get up, I yell, jar the floor! They love it when I do that. They love it. Just kidding. But she'd holler, jar the floor! Well, like a normal kid, I wouldn't jar the floor, and I'd just kind of lay there, you know. And then she'd come in, and you know what she'd do? She'd take the curtains and go, whoop! And I'd be like, oh! And I'd take the sheet and pull it over my head and take the pillow and pull it over my head. And I would want to hide from the light. But you know what the amazing thing is? On Christmas morning, I didn't resent the light at all. I loved it. I embraced it. I thought it was wonderful. The curtains are open. It's daylight. And you know why I loved it so much? Because it meant gifts. It's finally daylight. Now we can open up the gifts. You love the light because it meant gifts. Can I submit to you? There is no reason why you shouldn't love and embrace the light of Jesus Christ, because when you love Him and you embrace Him, it means the gift of eternal life. No reason not to love the light. He came to give you a gift. And by the way, not just the gift of eternal life. You get a lot more than that. You don't just get, fire insurance, you know. You don't just get a get-out-of-hell-free card, you know. That's not what happens when you get saved. You get more than that. You know what you get when you get saved? You get the life of Jesus Christ. He comes to live inside of you. And the Bible says He blesses you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, the gifts that come when you embrace the light. But number three, last point is this. If you want to brighten up Christmas, number three, share the Christmas light with others. Don't hide it. Don't hide it. What would you think if some of you earlier said that you do Christmas lights outside? We have a few, you know, on a little tree, and we don't have a big display, but some of you may do a big display. What would y'all think if there was a guy that had this elaborate, I mean elaborate display of Christmas lights. I mean, he's got them in his yard, he's got them on the bushes, he's got them on the trees, and he's got this elaborate display of Christmas lights in his backyard. And he's got a huge privacy fence around it. And every night after he finishes, you know, his work or whatever he's doing, he comes out, he sits in his lawn chair and admires his Christmas lights. You say, man, Pastor Dan, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. Who would do that? Who would go to all that work just to sit there and be selfish and not, you know, not let anybody else see? Exactly the point. I think y'all know where I'm heading with this, right? Is that you don't put up Christmas lights typically in your backyard with a privacy fence all around it. Why? You want other people to enjoy it. You want other people to see it. In your handout, it says lights are to be seen, not hidden. Lights are to be seen, not hidden. You don't hide something beautiful like Christmas lights. The sad part is many Christians hide the Christmas light every year. And they never share the life-changing light of Jesus with anybody else. Remember earlier, I told you I was at a restaurant this week with my family, and I was, and using one of them gift cards. And I was in there, and my family, we were enjoying a wonderful meal, and we had a gift card, and I was going to kind of tease the waitress. We had 23 cents left on the gift card, and I said, now I'm looking at this here receipt here, and, you know, acting real serious. I said, now, I got 23 cents left on there, right? She said, that's right. I said, well, that's perfect. I said, that's your tip. And, you know, I laughed, and she knew I was kidding around, you know. But she said, you know, you laugh at that. But she said, you know what just happened? And I said, what? She said, a family came in, had a huge meal, had appetizers, drinks, dessert, meals, and left me a $1 tip on their gift card. Left $1. And I said, oh, wow. I said, I'm sorry about that. I said, that's terrible. I said, you know, I'm just kidding you. I said, but I said, that's terrible. I said, you know, I said, and you've been so kind to us after that just happened to you. I said, we would never know that just happened. She said, yeah, you know, we have to share our tips with busboy and with the this, that. And she said, by the time that, you know, I said, I lost money. I said, well, you know, you'd never know it by the way you've treated us. I said, you've been so kind. And I said, you know, people forget waitresses are real people. They have problems they're dealing with. And I said, they don't always feel like coming and smiling at everybody because you've got problems you're dealing with. She said, oh, you have no idea the problems I'm dealing with. And I said, really? And Denise and I and the boys were sitting there. I said, is there anything we can pray for you about? She said, yes, there is. I said, well, what is it? We'll pray. She said, they just put my father in hospice. He's dying. She said, I took a day off work and I just cried my eyes out and then came to work the next day. And she said, I'm really hurting. And we said, well, can we pray with you right now? She said, sure. We just had a prayer meeting right in the restaurant. And we prayed for her. And she had tears coming down her face. She says, you have no idea how much I needed this. I needed this. Thank you. Of course, we invited her to walk through Bethlehem and gave her a good tip. I gave her more than I said, we'll give her more than the norm. I said, you know, to make up for the, you know, bozo who left her a buck, you know. I said, we'll give her more to make up for him. But, you know, there are hurting people out there. And I'm going to tell you something as good as Jesus, we ought to want to share him with other people. And I'm going to say this to you. Walk Through Bethlehem's a great corporate outreach that we do. But you know what? What we're doing there, we all ought to be doing in our individual lives. We all ought to be doing that individually. See what I mean? This is a great corporate event, but we should be doing it individually. We should be sharing the Christmas light. Hey, you don't hide lights. You don't do a big Christmas display in your backyard. No, you want it to be seen. And so something as good as the Christmas light, Jesus, share it. In your handout, it says, share it with somebody else. Share the light of Jesus with somebody else. That's what John did. I want you to look at verse 6. Would you look at that with me before you pack up here? Look at verse 6. We'll end with this. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was what? John. Now, every time you see the word witness, I want you to say it with me. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, John wasn't, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Hey, John didn't hear anymore. Who's supposed to bear witness of the light today? We are. We are. Look up at the screen and let's review it. Number one, we said this. You want to brighten up Christmas? Identify the Christmas light. Don't miss it. All right? Identify it. Don't miss it. Number two, we said, by the way, the Christmas light is who? We're going to go quick with these. The Christmas light is who?
Jesus.
Identify. Don't miss that. All right? Number two, let's bring it up. Accept the Christmas light. Don't just admire it. Receive Christ. Believe on him. Let him change your life. Number three, share the Christmas light. Don't hide it. Tell others about Jesus. That'll brighten up your Christmas, I guarantee you.